This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll talk about the College World Series, the SEC, and compare it to SEC football. Shane Beamer has been talking to the folks of Reddit today. We'll get to a little bit of that later on as well. Obviously, Trent's Takes coming up. We'll talk with George Teague an hour from now, former Dallas Cowboy. We've got plenty to do throughout this afternoon. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand, search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And the podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, and you can find the podcast there. And don't forget, you can always get in touch with the show. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and leave a comment for the show there. Plus, get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Text the show, 843-608-1734. Or you can always give us a call, 843-721-9500. Hanging out at CSL Plasma today for their Donor Appreciation Week. We're at the location across from the Northwoods Mall at 7800 Rivers Avenue. As mentioned, Donor Appreciation Week. So all week long, if you come and you donate plasma, if you've never done it before, you'll walk out of here with $100 the first time. And then also, all sorts of different prizes, or the chance to win all sorts of different things all week long here for Donor Appreciation Week. They're giving away fire sticks and tablets, a TV, extra money, grocery coupons as well. So all sorts of great stuff. Come see us here as we hang out today at CSL Plasma. Fan Talk with Bobby will be here Wednesday. I'll be at the other location on Thursday this week. So a lot going on for Donor Appreciation Week. In fact, we're pleased to be joined now by the center manager here for CSL Plasma, here at this location, 7800 Rivers Avenue, as Lorenzo Bowser is with us. Lorenzo, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you, man. We certainly appreciate you coming out to help us out.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to be out here. Now, this, of course, is the start of Donor Appreciation Week, and already it seems like things are going pretty well with how busy you guys have been today.
It is. We're extremely excited about it. Right now, we are busting loose, and that's exactly what we need right now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know there's a shortage for a lot of different things in this country. I imagine there's always a need for people to donate plasma as well to try to help out others.
Absolutely. Right now, we're still trying to come out of this COVID shortage. Even though we have the inflation and everything else that's going on and there's, you know, shortages here and there, that plasma is extremely important for us to get so we can make the medications for, 40 or so million people worldwide. So,
yeah, and you mentioned inflation, which is great for those that want to donate plasma, because I know, like, times are tough right now for everybody. Prices are going up for everything, the grocery store. But for those that are trying to plan summer vacations, you got kids going to college, or you're just looking for some extra bucks on the side because living expenses are increasing, this is an easy way to not only help a lot of people out, but you come here, you donate some plasma, and you get something out of it as well.
Absolutely. Obviously we want to push the humanitarian nature of plasma donation, fact that it is important in saving lives. However, unlike red blood donation or whole blood donation, there is a financial component to that, and that is for your time. So the time that it takes you to come in and spend donating, we do want to compensate you for that. And as you said, the compensation is pretty good. So, $825 on a month. I mean, that's somebody's house payment, man.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You can come, twice within 7 days?
Yes, twice within 7 days, as long as there's one day in between.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So you can come and donate plasma more frequently over the course of a month than maybe, a blood donation or some of the other things that people have done in the past. They hear plasma donation, and it probably sounds a lot more like intrusive or maybe even scary than it really is. I've done it now a couple times, so this isn't just me, blowing smoke here. I donated plasma a year ago. I did it on Friday. It's a very pretty simple process, obviously very safe. There's nothing to be afraid of. Without getting too, scientific, there's not much of a difference between, from the person perspective, not much of a difference between donating blood and actually sitting here donating plasma.
There isn't much difference. They call it blood donation when you donate for the Red Cross, et cetera, because they're taking what we call whole blood. So exactly what comes out of your vein is what they put into a bag. Here, when we do plasma donation, we are taking the liquid portion of the blood. So we're taking everything but your red cells. So red cells take 56 days to regenerate. So that's why you can only donate at the Red Cross once every 2 months. For plasma donation, it regenerates every 24, 48 hours. So we can, you can donate twice within that 7-day period.
Yeah, that's interesting. And for those that are listening that may have their interest piqued, when you come out and you donate plasma, I know you guys suggest with drinking water before to be prepared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should be very hydrated. Beer does not count. But you definitely want to drink water prior to donating, at least a day or two prior. You want to stay away from like caffeinated drinks and things of that nature. It just makes the process much easier. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and when I donate, I know I was afraid, just because I can be neurotic, I was afraid when I donated plasma last year of like passing out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to be the guy that got up from the table and hit the deck in there with everybody else
around.
Right. But no, the times I've done it, no issues afterwards either. Just, of course, make sure you hydrate afterwards as well, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why they give you, 500 milliliters of saline or whatnot, mm-hmm. just to replace some of that volume that you lost. Because your circulatory system is just like any kind of other, pump action system. So when you lose pressure in it from taking the fluid out, it'll make you lightheaded. So we give that back to make sure that you don't go through that.
Yeah. Yes, so sir. Far, I've been just fine afterwards. And
awesome.
You guys, you have a great staff here that has taken care of me. The other thing I love about this that doesn't really get mentioned is that when people come to donate plasma, to make sure that they're able to do so, you put them through a physical.
Absolutely.
So for those at home that are thinking about it, that's another perk, that you come here and not only do you donate plasma, you get a little bit of a free physical out of it as well.
Absolutely. The physical, of course, is non-invasive. So, head, ears, eyes, nose, throat. They go through all of the medical history questions. It is pretty thorough.
Yeah.
But the other thing as well is that every time a person donates, we test for a plethora of things, and that testing is done down at the DNA level, so it's not your run-of-the-mill test. People hear PCR testing mm-hmm. for COVID and such.
Right.
That's exactly what we do here, is polymerase chain reaction or PCR testing. So, so that the plasma supply is clean, we know that the people are okay to go, and so that our patients receive, quality product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all sorts of different perks and benefits. If you donate plasma, of course, you're helping others out. That's the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get some help financially from it. You get to physically make sure things are okay medically for yourself as well. But let's talk about, it's Donor Appreciation Week, so let me help you pump up some of the things you have going on this week, because not only do you get the normal payment when you donate plasma, but also this week, because it's Donor Appreciation Week, you guys have all sorts of different things like a TV, tablets. You're giving away the opportunity for people to win all sorts of other things this week as well.
Absolutely. Every day 10 people will be selected to receive an extra $25 bonus after their donation. Three people Monday, Wednesday, and Friday will each receive an extra $150 bonus as well. As you said before, I'm giving out tons of $25 grocery coupons to kind of help alleviate some of that inflation stress. There are tons of electronic prizes we're giving out, Echo Dots and JBL speakers, things of that nature. And there's several other things that I can't even remember right at the time, but we've got it going on here. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Fire sticks, tablets,
indeed,
TV.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got all sorts of stuff going on this week. So if you're listening, you've been thinking about it, come out, donate plasma here at CSL Plasma at 7800 Rivers Avenue. Last thing for you, maybe it just wasn't on my radar. I've just started to hear about plasma the last couple of years. Is this something that's been going on, these types of places donating plasma for a long time, or is this something that's been more modern, more new?
Well, plasma donation has been around since, World War II. The problem is that it always used to have a kind of a negative stigma with it. In more recent times, people are recognizing the need for plasma donation because there are so many medications that are manufactured from it now. So that stigma has gone away. And as I said before, the supply right now, especially in the United States, is extremely low. So we are trying to do everything that we possibly can to push to increase that supply for the United States and as well as across the world.
Yeah, so come out and try to help as well here at CSL Plasma. It's Donor Appreciation Week, so it's going on. We just started the week here. It's going on all week long. We're at this location here across from Northwoods Mall, 7800 Rivers Avenue, where Lorenzo is the center manager, but you also have the other location also here in North Charleston at 3725 Rivers Avenue as well. And there's different giveaways, as we touched on, all week long. You earn $100 the first time. You can get up to $800 for the first month of donating plasma. Tell them that you heard us talking about it here on ESPN Radio. Come see Lorenzo and tell him you heard him talking on the radio as well. Lorenzo, appreciate the time from you and wish you the best. Thanks for having us out here as well today. I know I'll be back out here or at the other location later on this week. Bobby will be here on Wednesday, so appreciate you guys having us, and best of luck here all week with Donor Appreciation Week.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you again, Luke.
Yeah. Hey, my pleasure. Lorenzo, the center manager, come see him. Tell him you heard him on the radio. Compliment him for his work here joining us on the Mora Midday Show, and come donate some plasma. To not only get yourself some money, you get a physical out of it, and you get a chance to win some really cool gifts as well and giveaways here for Donor Appreciation Week going on all week long. The week just started. It's going on to the end of the week. They have two different locations here in North Charleston. And, again, I may be shilling, but I actually went through it. Not Jeremy Schilling. I actually went through it myself on Friday. And it's not the first time I donated plasma, and it's very simple. The first time you come, it's going to take a little bit longer than all the other times you were to come and donate plasma, just to make sure, you know, you get all your information and you're good to go. They're very thorough. They give you a physical. They test the blood first to make sure you're good. They make sure your protein levels, your iron levels, all that sort of stuff is good. You're hydrated. So it's just, it's nice also for that peace of mind. If you haven't been to the doctor in a while, you're concerned about some things, this is almost serves as a quasi doctor checkup. They'll do the important stuff for the physical, make sure everything's okay with you, and then you go donate some plasma, you listen to a podcast, you watch a movie on your phone, you walk out with $100. And this week, potentially some other cool prizes as well. And bonus cash if you mention that you heard about CSL Plasma here on ESPN Radio. So come out and see us here at CSL Plasma in North Charleston. Coming up, some thoughts on the College World Series and how it relates to the SEC football as well. And we'll get into some other things throughout the afternoon. Hanging out at CSL Plasma in North Charleston for their Donor Appreciation Week. Come see us. It's the Mora Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mora Midday Show.
She stood in the doorway, heard the mission bell. And I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven and this could be hell. Then she lit up a candle and she showed me the way. There were voices down the corridor. I thought I heard them say,
it's the Mora Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, hanging out at CSL Plasma in North Charleston. We're outside today because it's beautiful. I heard I wasn't outside early enough this morning, but I heard it was even nicer this morning. It was in the low 60s. Now we're looking at about 86 degrees today. It's comfortable. We're in the shade. It's beautiful here at CSL Plasma at 7800 Rivers Avenue across from Northwoods Mall. So you can come out, do a little shopping, donate some plasma as well, and you'll walk out of here on site, right? The money paid immediately. You walk out with $100 when you donate plasma for the first time. So come see them. It's not as scary as it may sound. I've done it a couple times now. And it's Donor Appreciation Week. How about this? I had no idea. When I donated last year around this time, I was entered apparently as well. I won a Bluetooth speaker, and I had no idea. I was never told. So when I came last week, it was in my profile that I was the winner of a Bluetooth speaker from a year ago. But I guess the time they didn't have the Bluetooth speaker anymore. They figured if he hasn't come back in a year, we're giving this thing away to somebody else. So I missed out on the Bluetooth speaker. That's okay. I got enough. Bluetooth speakers nowadays have become the type of thing where, you know, like back in the day, it used to be the TV. And people, when they first started getting, like, flat-screen TVs, and that was a big deal. And now, TVs are so cheap, you can have one in every room in the house. They're all those flat screens. You can put them up on the wall. Back in the day, it was a big deal. And, like, when you had, like, wow, two flat-screen TVs, that was a big thing. Or just a big-screen TV. Back when you had those big, bulky big screen TVs that used to have to be on wheels because they were so big, you couldn't carry them. You'd have to wheel them around. Right, and that was a big deal. Like, oh, they have two TVs in the house or two in the living room. And now, I mean, you got a TV in the kitchen, in every bedroom. The house I grew up in, by the time my parents sold that house, there was like 10 TVs around the place, right? Because TVs became so cheap. It's similar with these Bluetooth speakers as well. I got one for every room in the house now. Bluetooth speakers. They become so common and affordable, and everybody has them, and you get them at golf tournaments. I'm not even talking about, like, the smart speakers, just a regular Bluetooth. You connect it to your phone, you play music on the beach or at the pool. Ah, got all those all over the place. But I missed out on another one, apparently. Hey, happy Father's Day yesterday. You know, if you are a father, if you still have your father around, hopefully you celebrated and did something special for Father's Day. And if, unfortunately, your father's no longer with you, I think of those as well, because that's always tough. You know, baseball's interesting. I say this all the time. Sports in general, they always lead to these cool moments. And over the weekend, it wasn't related to Father's Day. There were a couple yesterday. I'll get to those in a moment. But there was also the story of Francisco Lindor, who plays for the Mets. His mother was watching him. She came from, I should have looked this up before. She lives in another country. And she was watching Francisco Lindor play for the Mets for the first time since he went to New York. And in his first at-bat Friday night, he hit a home run. First time he was batting, at least with the Mets. Not necessarily Major League Baseball. He played for the Indians, or the former Indians for a long time. He played for Cleveland. But, you know, it's just funny how it works out. First at-bat, when his mother was in attendance, he hits a homer Friday. Homered again, I think it was Saturday. Hit a couple homers this weekend. And his manager, Buck Showalter, joked about how he doesn't want Lindor's mother to leave. You know, can we get her apartment here in New York? He plays great when she's around. And I always say it's amazing. Maybe it's just a coincidence, and you don't hear about the stories when it doesn't happen. A lot of times athletes play with either their parents in attendance, or they'll be playing with a heavy heart because of something going on, and if they go 0 for 4, you don't hear about it or think about it as much as when somebody does do something special. So maybe it's a case like that, where I always say the same idea with plane crashes. People think flying is so unsafe because you never hear about all the safe flights people have had. The plane's landing without an issue. You only hear about when there's a problem. But statistically, I'll reiterate that it's statistically safer to fly than it is to drive, based off of the data over the years. But because you hear of only the horrific things, right, you think it's terrible. So same idea here, except maybe the opposite. We only hear about these great stories, so we think that it's just, you know, it's amazing how often it happens. But I say all that because yesterday's Father's Day. There's a couple of things that stood out in the baseball world yesterday on Father's Day. There was Hunter Renfroe, who plays for the Brewers now. His father passed away, I believe, from cancer within the last year, since last Father's Day. This was the first Father's Day for Hunter Renfroe without his father, which I'm fortunate enough to still have my parents. Right? If you've lost one or both of your parents, I can only imagine how tough it is, especially on a day like yesterday, when you're supposed to be celebrating them and you think about them instead. So I think of you on a day like that when you can't even pick up the phone and you know, call your loved ones on their special day just to say hello, just to BS with them for a little bit on Father's Day or on Mother's Day when that comes around or whatever, on their birthday. Anyways, long story short, Hunter Renfroe homered yesterday in the first Father's Day without his father. And it was an emotional thing. It was cool to see. It was a great, you know, touching at-bat and story. And it's just amazing how often that happens. Another one was a rookie for the Pirates yesterday. Hit 3 home runs, including the walk-off, with his father in attendance. So the first Father's Day of this guy being in the big leagues, father in attendance, right, his first Father's Day, celebrating by watching his son in the big leagues, and he hits 3 homers yesterday, including the walk-off winner for Pittsburgh. And it's just, it's crazy. They're always great stories. It's amazing how often it happens. Jack Sawinski was his name for Pittsburgh. You think of Brett Favre after his father passed away and then went out on Monday Night Football and, you know, threw for 4 touchdowns in the first half against the Raiders. And I tell the story of Michael Lorenzen, who was a relief pitcher for the Reds, and his father passed away during the season. This was going back a couple years ago. And in his first at-bat, he's a relief pitcher. How often do relief pitchers get to bat in a game? Now, never, because we have the DH. But in his first at-bat after his father passed, he hit a home run, a relief pitcher. We know the story about the Marlins when, unfortunately, Jose Fernandez passed away in that boating accident. And then the very first pitch, D. Gordon homers while, like, wearing his number the next game. It's amazing how often we get these stories of whether it's Father's Day, right, it's a happy thing. Like Ken Griffey, it was Ken Griffey Jr., right, on Father's Day, his 500th home run with his father in attendance. We get the sad stories as well, when unfortunately someone lost a loved one, and then they come out and they do something great the very next game. And then we get these happy stories. We have a rookie in Pittsburgh playing in front of his father for the first time on Father's Day in the big leagues, and he hits a walk-off home run yesterday. Now, as I said, leading into these anecdotes from the baseball weekend, I'm sure a lot of guys played in front of their fathers yesterday that, again, went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, so you don't hear about those. But it's always great to hear these stories of the positives when somebody does something special in front of their parent. Now, yesterday being Father's Day, a couple of questions off of that. And, Trent, I bring you into the conversation. We'll get to Trent's takes coming up in just a few moments. But let me get your take on a couple different things. Number one, in regards to performing yesterday with the father in attendance on Father's Day, you played sports growing up, of course. Did you feel like you did better when your parents were there? Or was there ever a case where they were running late, they missed a game, and you seemed to play your best when they weren't around?
I'm not sure. Maybe for different sports. Like, I think for track and field, if my parents were in attendance, I did much better just because I can get some outside knowledge, you know, for the high jump from my father who did the same thing. But, you know, my parents, Luke, kind of similar to yours, they never really missed anything, whether it was, you know, a football game, a practice. One of them always seemed to be there, but they weren't at a couple football games sometimes. And I don't know, I would say if I played better with them, it's not really a thought in my mind because I have phenomenal parents, so they always show up. But I would say track, I do a little bit better when they were there just to get some, you know, extra perspective on what's going on.
Yeah, it makes sense. But you always hear these stories of like the father showing up late and right. The other parents like, you won't believe it, Billy just hit a home run. Like, the parents always seem to miss big moments. And I think a lot of it is that certain kids may feel pressure when their parents are there, and the parents may put some pressure on the kids to perform well. And so sometimes you get kids that play better if, like, the parents happen to be running late or they can't make it to a game. They have their career game. I'm with you. I never had some sort of, like, bad experience. And my parents did always make – my dad was usually coaching me. So my parents were always there at the sporting events. I do remember one time – they may have had a wedding. I don't know. They weren't at a basketball game when I was growing up, and I had, like, my career performance. So maybe I'm one of those kids that I was just talking about that seems to do better when their parents weren't around. That's the only time I can remember my parents actually missing a game, and I did anything noteworthy. But growing up, playing soccer, I remember I always played my best when my godmother was in attendance. Mm. So, you know, as a kid, I used to want to show out when the godmother would show up. I used to have to play well, and I would actually play better when there are more family members there. But, yeah, I didn't have any sort of one way or another, have some sort of strong connection to performing well or not, whether my parents were there. I never felt some sort of pressure. It's different nowadays. My parents were always there. Trent's parents were there. Hopefully, if you grew up playing sports, you know, you had supportive parents as well. But way back, if you're of a certain age, I'm sure you could think back to when you were playing sports. My father played. I always reference he played basketball professionally. I think he tells the story. I think his parents went to, like, one of his games. It was just different back then when, you know, they were working. They had other things to do. They were getting the house taken care of, and kids went off and did the sports. And, you know, the parents didn't go to all the practices and all the games. Now parents are at all the games and practices, and it's great. The other thing I had, the other question, yesterday was Father's Day. As you celebrate your father on Father's Day, does the Corville family go big, or is it just, hey, dad just wants a day of doing nothing and, you know, you don't even have to get the guy a card. It's just his day to do whatever he wants. How do you celebrate Father's Day?
Well, Luke, this Father's Day was a tad bit different. My dad was actually coaching out in Rock Hill for the state track meet that goes on for the USATF. So he wasn't really around until about 6 o'clock, you know, on Sunday afternoon. But it's a typical Father's Day stuff. You know, he got home. We just cut on the U.S. Open. You got a, you know, golf net in the back, hit a couple shots. But besides that, Luke, we usually, if my dad was here for Father's Day, like for the whole day, it would normally be like we'll go to brunch or something, and then he'll just, you know, watch golf for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think that's most fathers, which is great. Like the mother, and I'm not saying this is not supposed to be some sort of slight, right? Mother's Day, it's got to be special. You got to get flowers, you get the card, you go out for brunch, you get some gifts. You got to make sure moms feels loved on Mother's Day. Father's Day, they just typically want to be left alone and watch the golf on a Sunday. And we would have had Game 7 of the NBA Finals if it went that long, but instead just, you know, you have a major event. That's pretty good yesterday as well. But I think that's the big difference. Now, I sent a card home, apparently never made it. But even the card, right? A lot of fathers don't really care about getting a card either. They just want to be left alone on Father's Day. And I would be the same way. But I think that's the big difference. Fathers are a lot, typically, a lot simpler, that they just want to be able to sit down and watch the sports. And it's a different holiday than Mother's Day. But regardless, hopefully you celebrated accordingly yesterday and at least reached out if you don't live around your parents. Celebrate your mom on Mother's Day, your father on Father's Day as well. Hopefully everybody had a great Father's Day yesterday.
Luke, now, real quick, do you play better like if your siblings were in the stands? I feel like that's important sometimes. If my brother was in the stands or watching, I feel like I always, you know, heightened it up just a little bit. You obviously have a couple older brothers, so, you know, I'm sure that heightens the level of competition, to go back to our previous conversation.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I don't even remember if they were at a lot of my games. Being that they were older, they wouldn't have to be dragged to. Right. I was at all their games. Then they were out of the house when I was in high school. So, yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that had an impact. If I was playing with them, absolutely, because they're older, I want to show that, like, I belong. So if we're playing pickup in the driveway against, like, them, I'm playing with them and their friends, I got to try to hold my own.
Right.
But in terms of, like, my actual organized sporting games, if they were there, I don't know if my brothers had any impact. I don't know if my parents did. You know, we're talking youth sports, so, you know, it's not like I'm bragging too much here because I didn't have much of an athletic career. But in basketball, whenever we would have to go up against the full court press, like, I was usually the point guard. Now, my father was usually the coach, and he'd make me the point guard, but he always liked how calm I was against the pressure. So my point being that I don't think I got rattled by whoever was in the crowd. I never really cared. I was always even keel out on the court or field, whatever sport I was playing. So I don't think somebody in attendance would really threw me off back in the day.
Mm.
But that was just me. Some people certainly do feel that pressure. And in certain cases, maybe it helps them play even better when the family shows up. We'll get to Trent Stakes when we come back. We're hanging out here at CSL Plasma in North Charleston as part of their Donor Appreciation Week. 7800 Rivers Avenue across from Northwoods Mall. Come check them out. Donate plasma. Help others and help yourself out as well, because you'll be getting some money when you donate plasma and potentially winning some gifts this week for Donor Appreciation Week. We'll talk more about that throughout the afternoon. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, we're hanging out at CSL Plasma for their Donor Appreciation Week. We're at the location. They have two locations in North Charleston, and we're at the one across from Northwoods Mall, 7800 Rivers Avenue. Come out, donate plasma, get some money for it, and a chance to win some cool prizes as well. We'll continue to pump that up throughout the afternoon here as we're hanging out here. We'll be out here on Thursday. Bobby will be here on Wednesday, so you'll hear plenty all week long about CSL and donating plasma. It's safe, it's easy, you get money for it as well, and this week some cool prizes. But in the meantime, while we hang out here, we do it around this time each and every day. It's time to find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, a great Father's Day weekend wrapped up with a great final round of the U.S. Open. Now, I will say, obviously, on this show, we like to be very honest, Luke. You know, you'll say when you're right, you'll say when you're wrong. I have to right my wrongs here because I gave out three picks for the U.S. Open that I thought would be beneficial to the listeners. I gave out Cam Smith at plus 2,000, Dustin Johnson at plus 4,000, and Brooks Koepka at plus 5,000. All of those bets didn't hit whatsoever. It was a very poor U.S. Open weekend for myself, but I will say, Luke Morrow, I did live bet Will Zalatoris before his final round And I really thought it was coming together for Will, but the putter let him down. And that's a big thing for Zalatoris. I know he's super young. It's crazy to me that he can be so thin and not have a ton of muscle and still absolutely crush the ball. It's beautiful to see as a skinny man who's trying to get better at golf to see how much I can, you know, how far I can hit the ball. Obviously, he's a professional. It's a lot different. But I really feel bad for the guy. There's been so many times, obviously, when he burst on the scene and almost won the Masters a couple years back. All of these majors, Luke Morrow, Will Zalatoris is in contention, and he can't get it done. I really like the guy. I think he's very good for golf. I hope that he can get over that hump because, you know, there's a lot of guys out there like Lee Westwood, a couple other guys come to name that they get so close every single major, every single tournament. They can win the small ones, but they can never win the big ones. I'm a big Willie Z guy. I'll continue to back him throughout these major championships because I do believe he has the talent to win one. But man, every single week after week after week, Luke Morrow, this guy falls short.
Yeah, it's brutal. He's being compared to the Buffalo Bills of the golf world, so that's not a good thing coming up short. I think he's 4 strokes from having 3 major victories yeah. already. So, yeah, he's been close. I'm a big Will Zalatoris guy as well because Jeremy Schilling was pumping him up on the Morrow Midday Show really before he became mainstream. And so, therefore, just because it was on our show, I take credit for it as well. So I'm a big Zalatoris guy, but unfortunately couldn't get it done. In regards to the golf picks, it is so hard to try to pick a winner. So you just got to try to spray it around. Pick as many guys as you can and hope you strike gold. So you did well at the NBA Finals. Don't feel bad about not picking a winner yesterday. It's so hard to try to pick the exact winner in these golf events.
Yeah, Luke, no doubt about it. Hey, we're on to football season. I'm already breaking it down, getting up matchups, ready to go because I want to have the most successful football season that this radio station has ever seen, Luke Morrow. And that's a team thing. You and I are going to do this together, Luke. That's how it's going to get done. To be the best, you know, pickers, if you would say, in the office, because I know everybody really enjoys picking games, but we will be the best. There's no doubt about it. Now, Luke Morrow, the Tampa Bay Lightning really let me down on Saturday night. They really did. 7-0 wasn't even close. There's only one big takeaway from that game. Obviously, tonight, Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Tampa. I believe I just checked. And Tampa is favored in this one, so potentially some home ice favoritism should be good for the Lightning. I'm not giving up on them again, even though Colorado really took it to them. I was being told, you know, throughout this entire playoffs from some of these pundits, Luke Morrow, that the goalie for Tampa Bay, he's got the silkiest mitts in all the land. Well, I guess that wasn't the case on Saturday night, losing to 7-0. But I will say, I don't know if you saw the clip, Luke, and a lot of people are talking about this. Scott Van Pelt talked about it. A couple podcasts have talked about it. And I absolutely love it. And it is a big question. Why did American sports fans get away from singing songs together? There was a song that was played at the Colorado Avalanche game, and I don't know, they might have 15, 20,000 people packed deep in that arena. They were playing a Blink 182 song. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but it was absolutely incredible to watch. And I think that's why people enjoy watching the EPL, because the entire time songs are being sang. Luke, why did we get away from that as a society? Like, you remember last year when Michigan beat Ohio State, the entire 115,000 people were singing Mr. Brightside. I mean, it was the coolest thing ever. Why, as American sports fans, do we not want to sing together, Luke Morrow? I think it's an abomination. We should all start singing. It brings a come-togetherness when you're at these kind of games.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fair question. I like it. As a Red Sox fan, you know, they always sing Sweet Caroline in the middle of the eighth inning, which when the team's doing well, it's fun. When they're down 10-0, I think it's a weird song to sing in that spot. But it's still fun. It's a thing people look forward to at Fenway. And I'll also say, when I went to Wrigley Field, same idea. They're singing the whole time, the Cubs fans. And it's just a great environment, and it feels more like a community. And, you know, you're hugging the people next to you. So I'm with you. I'm all for the singing. You know, at Wrigley, and the Cubs were good at the time, but, like, they didn't even care what was going on in the field. People were just having a good time. They're drinking. They're singing. You're hanging out. So I'm with you. I think it makes for a fun experience, and it increases the environment. And the community feel when everyone's just singing together like you're at the pub. having a good time. So I'm all for singing songs at sporting events.
Yeah, we need to make that more normalized, especially in college football. You know, I love when LSU, even though they get fined every time they do it, when they sing Neck, it's absolutely incredible. I love it wholeheartedly. They should do it every single time there's a Tiger home game, especially at night. And Odell Beckham Jr. will cover the fine, so you're good to go. He said he literally tweeted out and said every single week, if y'all want to sing this, I will cover the fine. It's like $20,000 if the band plays it. So I hope it happens a lot more. Now, speaking of baseball, Luke, we're getting into that time of the year, and I need some things to watch. But I will say, unlike a couple people, yourself and you have the Red Sox, Bobby has the Braves. I don't have a major league team that I have an allegiance to. Now, my father is a Houston Astros fan, so he's from Houston, so it makes sense that he's a Houston Astros fan. But I want to pick a team, Luke Morrow. I want to pick a team to ride behind to get into Major League Baseball, because I'm always usually in it with the playoffs. So I've got a couple teams to throw at you, and you tell me, Luke Morrow, because I'm not going to make my decision yet. I'm going to make it sometime this week, and I will be an insufferable fan for whatever team that I choose. I'm thinking about the Sox, and I'm thinking about the Braves, obviously, for the shows that I work on. But I would say, Luke, and I, out of these three, you pick which one will probably be the best one to be a fan of. I've got the San Francisco Giants, the Chicago White Sox, and the New York Yankees. Which one should I hop on? I don't want to. The only thing about the Yankees is so I can play the heel to you and Bobby. That would be the only reason why I picked them. I don't want to pick them, but they're in my top three. Luke, which one do you think I can hop on and we might have a good run outside of the Yankees? Because I might just do that for the heel factor.
Yeah, well, I think Bobby used to be a Yankee fan, so I don't know. Maybe he'll appreciate it. He jumped around. I think clearly the Giants. I don't think the White Sox are very likable, probably in large part because of Tony La Russa. He's just hard to root for. He's a bit of a doofus at this point, and I mean, he's had his own issues off the field in the past. I just don't think Chicago comes off the White Sox as very lovable.
Okay.
The Yankees, of course, I mean, that's the easy one if you want to try to root for a winner this year. They're so good, but they're the evil empire. The Giants are fun because San Francisco, they're a team that nobody was expecting much out of a year ago. They won over 100 games. They're having a good season this year. You got Gabe Kapler, who was run out of town in Philadelphia managing the team. Everybody thought, you know, he was a bit of a bust. And I like that they're in the shadow of the Dodgers, that you don't really pay attention to the Giants. So they're a little bit of an underdog. They're good. They got a good lineup, some good pieces. Gabe Kapler is trying to prove a lot of people wrong. So if those three teams, I think it should certainly be the Giants.
Okay, so I will note that, Luke Morrow, and I believe tomorrow I will have my official decision and potentially will be hopping on the San Francisco Giants bandwagon, you know, because some of their players getting smacked in the face for fantasy football leagues. I don't like it. I might hop on that team, Luke, and I'm going to be very insufferable. Sorry to everybody, but I'm going to hop on it and learn all about the players and get ready to go. Now, speaking of some allegiances to teams, Luke Morrow, you know I'm a big Miami Heat fan, and some news came down the pipe this morning that none other then Kyrie Irving will potentially be on the move and going elsewhere, leaving the Brooklyn Nets. Now, what does this mean for Kevin Durant? He could potentially be on the move as well if they don't like what the organization is doing from a basketball standpoint. But Luke Lamaro, let me say this right now. We can clip it. We can save it for next NBA season. I'm ready to go. Kyrie Irving is going to get traded to the Miami Heat for Duncan Robinson, Kyle Lowry, and a draft pick. He's going to come to Miami. Luke, I don't need him for the regular season. I don't need it. I don't need it at all. You come for the playoffs, and the Miami Heat will be in the NBA Finals in 2023. You can mark that down right now because Kyrie Irving will be joining the Heat. There's videos surfacing on Twitter, and maybe just because my algorithm is kind of towards the Heat, always has had favorable things to say about Miami, loves the team, loves Jimmy Butler, loves Bam Adebayo. Think about that three-piece right there, Luke. Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. In my eyes, all I see is a golden trophy, Luke Morrow.
So you would be pro bringing Kyrie Irving in?
1,000%. And like I said, I play 30 games in the regular season for all I care. I just need you healthy, ready to go for the playoffs to join this team because we needed one more piece, Luke. We needed a scoring option. Obviously, Jimmy Butler can't put up 40 points every single night, and if Bam Adebayo is not going to be hitting shots, we need, and Tyler Herro's, you know, mulling around on the bench playing 20 minutes, scoring 5 points. I need a different scorer, even though we're paying all those guys, you know, $200+ million. I need another scorer, pay the man whatever he wants, get Kyrie Irving to the Miami Heat.
I love Kyrie. I'm a big Kyrie guy. I think he's incredibly talented. Obviously, the concern is just the last couple of places he's been, things really haven't worked out. In fact, things have only worked out from a team perspective when he was with LeBron. So maybe if you get him to Miami, maybe Jimmy Butler could be that guy that could help, you know, keep him in check. Or just that Heat culture we always hear about, and Pat Riley and Spoelstra. Maybe that's what it would take to keep Kyrie in line, for lack of a better term. But the guy is clearly incredibly talented. If you can get him on the floor, and if he can get along with his teammates, actually playing the games, he's one of the best scorers at his size that we've ever had. But I would just be concerned about how well things would go. I would love to have that talent on my team. I don't know if it would help me win a championship or make the team better. And I've also seen the rumors about it would be so New York Knicks to go all in and make a move for Kyrie, and then he'd be the only star on the team, and he plays like 30 games next year, and it's just a disaster, and it blows up in their face. But I've seen plenty of the Knicks rumors as well, and it'd be classic Knicks to try to do something like that, and it goes completely wrong. Kyrie in Miami, because of the Heat culture, could be interesting. Maybe it works there.
Yeah, I mean, I might be, you know, being a hopeful fan here, but I just need one more piece, Luke. That's it, because Hero and Robinson and Lowry weren't giving it to me. If I can get a guy, especially in the playoffs, who will give me at least 20, because Jimmy will give you 30, Bam will give you 15. If I can get a guy that at least 20 at a high percentage rate like Kyrie Irving does, because I know all the off-court stuff is very difficult for people to, you know, wipe out of their mind. But take that out for a second. Like you were just saying, Luke, he's one of the most talented NBA players we've ever had in the league. There's no doubt about it, especially from a scoring perspective. If he's on that team, Eric Spoelstra, you know, whips him into shape a little bit, I think this team can go all the way.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Interesting to see what happens with Kyrie this offseason, because of that report this morning about being at an impasse with Brooklyn. Shocker there, not getting along with the Nets front office. So we'll see what happens with Kyrie Irving. This free agent, you know, what's interesting about the NBA is typically the most exciting part of the NBA is when you're looking forward towards the offseason and what type of free agents are coming up. And we haven't heard a ton about this offseason because there aren't a lot of big names. I mean, Harden could potentially become available. Obviously, Kyrie could be, but there's not really a big offseason. So it's usually the big draw in the NBA. All you hear about, even when the season's going on, is about the upcoming offseason. Not so much the case this year because it's a bit of a weaker class, but maybe Kyrie will be the big fish here this offseason. In fact, I remember when, I think it was Derek Fisher, was introduced as head coach of the Knicks, and at his introductory press conference, he was talking about getting Durant to come to the Knicks, I think it was when he was going to be a free agent 3 years from then. That's always been the problem to me with the NBA, is always just looking ahead to the stars and when they become available instead of focusing on the here and now. The Knicks introduced a new coach. He's talking about what he may be able to do with a player 3 years down the road. But this year a little bit different just because we don't have all these big names this offseason, that there wasn't so much looking ahead. But we'll see what happens with Kyrie this offseason nonetheless. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. We're hanging out at CSL Plasma in North Charleston across from the Northwoods Mall at 7800 Rivers Avenue for their Donor Appreciation Week. Come donate plasma, get some money for it, and have a chance to win some cool prizes as well. And if you come see us, say hello and donate plasma, we'll give you some River Dogs tickets as well. CSL Plasma across from Northwoods Mall, 7800 Rivers Avenue in North Charleston. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Yeah, me, and I could tell it wouldn't be long. They was with me. Yeah, me, singing.
I love rock and roll. Spend a lot of time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll. Spend a lot of time and dance with me. Ow!
Smiled so I got up and asked for his name.
Wrapping up hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio as we're out at CSL Plasma in North Charleston across from the Northwoods Mall at 7800 Rivers Avenue. They have a couple different locations here in North Charleston. We're at this one here today. We'll be at the other location coming up on Thursday. Bobby will be out here Wednesday of this week for Donor Appreciation Week here at CSL Plasma. You could donate plasma to help others and also make money for yourself in the process. You walk out the door with $100 when you come to donate plasma for the first time, and you get paid for every visit afterwards. You can make up to $800 a month donating plasma. Hey, Shane Beamer today did some sort of chat with, I guess it was a Twitter space. not Reddit, as I was saying earlier, but it was through the Reddit College Football Twitter. Not a ton of things that stood out about Beamer's comments, as you would expect from a coach this time of year. He said a couple of the quotes, "Nobody's going to pick us to win the SEC East. We like having that edge and chip on our shoulder." He also said about Ray Tanner, "He's a phenomenal athletic director," was the quote about his AD. I mean, what do you expect a coach to say about the current AD, who's your boss and the guy that hired you? He also said he made some mistakes putting together his first staff in Columbia, most notably probably Mike Bobo. That's the biggest change. And says he loves Sandstorm. 2001 is his favorite Gamecock tradition. There's nothing like a Saturday in Columbia. Some of the quotes standing out about Beamer today. As you would imagine, this time of year, right, he doesn't want to make any headlines. Not a whole lot from Beamer today, but at least it's cool. He's out there doing a Twitter Spaces talking to the people. Hour three coming up next. We'll catch up with former Alabama safety and NFL safety as well, George Teague, when we come back.